Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I hope you have already made the best of every moment of your day today and you are ready to be with us for an hour this evening. I'm Dr. Daniel Sadiq, a marriage and family counselor with doctorate in clinical psychology and specialties in eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing, somatic psychotherapy, and guided imagery. I'm also the clinical director at Willow Wellbeing, which is an integrative center for healing of mind, body, and spirit. I would like to let you know that in my approach of well-being, I consider each individual as an able, whole, and efficient unit who has the power to overcome many challenges in a lifetime. In this approach, each person's problems or difficulties are just fixations or stuck positions that sometimes need change or movement in their patterns and directions and the lifestyles of that person. Often enough, the people have chosen a certain lifestyle by force or they have accepted results of the past, and that's what has created that fixation or stuck position. Today we live at times of financial difficulties, a lot of hardships, social stressors are more than any other time, and they're depleting our positive energies, our affirmative attitudes and actions are limited. And if we continue bending down under such pressures, then there's nothing left of us but sadness, anger, despair, fear, and destruction, among many other feelings that we may experience, negative feelings actually. So I think, however, if we focus on attention, on appreciation or gratitude, then we are looking at something else. Then we are able to do differently and notice differences in our lives. That is why in my practice of psychotherapy, I've paid special attention to building abilities and finding new ways to deal with the same old problems. The results that we have achieved in the 3 to 4 years that we've been doing this form of work, it's been the integrative approach that creates collaboration and teamwork among a group of dedicated and like-minded practitioners. And they all believe in that whole person approach in health and happiness. Well, all of our experts at the Wheel of Wellbeing, they understand the importance of having inner peace, serenity, and relaxation in their wellness and their recovery. The depth of this kind of attention to mindfulness is at every practice that our therapists, our doctors, our clinicians are doing, even going to the depth of our psychiatrist, who's named Dr. Choi, he practices and teaches meditation to his patients before he decides that medication is necessary. To learn more about the Wheel of Wellbeing and the holistic approaches, I invite you to look at our website, wheelofwellbeing.com. And for looking at my approach to well-being, you can look at drsadiq.com. And you're welcome to join my Facebook page, Dr. Daniel Sadiq. As myself and all of my colleagues at the Wheel systematically are utilizing meditation and positivity in our approach, I've grown to become very interested in other practitioners, other people who have arrived at similar conclusions, and they use it in the mental, physical, and emotional health and practices that they do for their patients and themselves. After all, we can see that every person wants to feel joyous and be happy, and pursuit of such kind of a state of happiness requires consistency, dedication, and just celebrating what we have. Many years ago, when I came across Martin Seligman, the founder of positive psychology, It was then that I realized that how he was onto something beyond treating the mental illnesses. Martin believed that the psychology of positive human functioning will someday achieve a scientific understanding and a form that effectively intervenes to build thriving individuals, families, communities. And I think his vision has come true a lot more today than the 80s, early 80s when he started with this. He knew that finding and nurturing the genius, the values, the talents in his clients, that could make a normal life more fulfilling. So as a component and not replacement to traditional psychology, Martin recommended practices such as mindfulness. And today, this is what we are promoting as a common thread in most of our healing practices. We may define mindfulness as the intentionally focused awareness of one's immediate experience. And this experience is a moment-by-moment attention to our thoughts, to our emotions, the physical sensations, and also our surrounding, our environment. In order to practice mindfulness, then first we need to be grounded in the present moment. And that starts with a form of meditation, by observing the highs and lows, the rising and passing away of experiences in our system, and not being judgmental, not paying attention to their statements that they're making, but understanding what they are. We reach a state of being that has much less problems. And it's in this position that we're not really trying to figure out things, you know, and just make conclusion or change things. We simply want to observe from a calm mind, and we, in that calmness, we are able to reduce stress, anxiety, depression, even chronic pain. Among many practitioners that I had the pleasure of meeting in the last few years, I've recently met a gentleman who is sharing the same philosophy and understanding, and who he has devoted his education, his time, his energy in bringing joy and relaxation to those people who are suffering physically or mentally. This gentleman is an advocate of positive thinking and living a purposeful life. Let me give you a small review of Rod Pezeshki, my guest for this week. Dr. Rod Pezeshki is a physician who has also learned how to be creative, to be kind, loving, receptive, abundant, happy, plentiful, and peaceful. Rod's unconditional love for humanity has led him to heal and to inspire himself and others in order to raise the collective cosmic consciousness. He started his journey as a young boy who immigrated from Iran with his family and went through the challenges of acculturation and setting a new world and environment for himself and his family. His passion for helping others took him to a medical school far away in Guadalajara, Mexico, where he had to learn a new language and a new culture for a second time in a very short lifespan. He lived in a very unique environment and worked in one of the poorest areas of the world. And being in a long-distance relationship with a romantic love that he had at that time, and the pressures of keeping up at the same time with medical school, eventually he experienced a severe depression, and at this point he didn't know how to handle his feelings. Well, Rod, with the help of his family and his sister, found a great psychiatrist, and through his help he was able to finish school and get on with his life and come back to the United States. The hardships of getting through the board exam and the need for more training, came back to New York in order to finish clinical internship, which earned him a fifth pathway doctorate diploma from New York Medical College. during the time that Rod has been learning the traits of being a medical practitioner, and what he's been practicing, living a purposeful life with passion, he's turned his life around by looking within himself for solutions rather than looking outwardly and looking for results that are happening outside. He has understood that the more abundant and the more deserving one can be thinking of himself will earn that. And this changed his old habits, and he chose new ones that served him better. By bringing meditation, affirmation, and positive thinking into his life, Dr. Pezeshki has been able to connect with amazing people internationally, and together they have spread love, advocated peace, and promoted positive thinking. He has practiced ancient wisdom, New Age philosophy with his teacher at Agape International Spiritual Center, Dr. Beckwith, and has benefited from studying such masters like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Anthony Robbins, Eckhart Tolle, Greg Brandon, Deepak Chopra, and Louis Hay. His practice of japa meditation, along with dedicated work and studies, have resulted in first book, which is called Live a Purposeful Life with Passion. And currently, he's working on his second book, The Loving Light Within. I have invited Rod to share his wisdom, experiences in regards with meditation, affirmation, and developing an attitude of positive thinking with our listeners. Let's welcome Dr. Pezeshki. Hello, Dr. Pezeshki. You're online with us.
Hello, Dr. Sadiq. Thank you for such a beautiful welcome and collaborate description of me. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful.
Great. We're very glad to have you, and we look forward to an hour of fun, joy, experience, and learning.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we're going to have a great time. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think we're going to have a great time. I want to thank all the listeners who have tuned in, everybody who has seen our promotions on Facebook, and everybody who has known about us. I'm so grateful for them tuning in from all around the world and giving us their time, their dedication for an hour of just soulful communion and getting some positive energy and affirmations and some aspects of meditation going together.
Very good. Great. So why don't you start telling us what is meditation and what is not meditation?
Well, meditation, you know, there's so many misconceptions about meditation. A lot of people who don't understand it, they think they have to sit for hours and hours in order to get to this really trance state of mind and have their soul really separate from their body and all of that nonsense, which is not truly meditation. What is meditation is actually tuning down the vibration, the frequency of your conscious and unconscious mind, and really just slowing things down, going within, connecting to your inner being, and truly commune with the present. And that presence is the universal life source energy, or whatever we want to call it. You know, in our culture nowadays, we call it God. If you want to expand the view over, in a more broad sense, is the universal energy. It's what gave birth in the beginning to time and space. So when you slow down your mind and you go into that really unique and quiet space within the space of your thoughts, that's when you are really connecting to the true self and to the energy that is beating your heart and making all the thoughts come and go. That's what true meditation is. What it's not, it's really... I'm sorry?
That's a great way of explaining it. It is then a state of quieting your mind, allowing your inner being be present, and connecting with not something that is coming from the outside, but the information that we have already received and is inside of us, and we're becoming present to them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it is. It's going from within to without. It's coming and touching that state within you in order to feel what's real. And what's real is the presence of this energy that is in control of everything in our life. You know, when we were conceived as gametes, as, you know, as babies, we really didn't have control over those 9 months of, you know, pregnancy inside of mother's womb. You know, the seed and the egg, these things are all happening on their own. So there is this outer this inner energy, this universal energy that's running the show. And for us as human beings, and I'm going to, you know, define our human beingness, part being a human physical sense, and part being the being, which is the soul, as being this unique species that we are, we tend to be disconnected to our original source. And really what meditation does is enabling you to get connected to your source. And that's what I believe what meditation is. This is what I teach my clients. And I believe that true healing of any kind of disease, not disease, dis-ease or disharmony, it really can be harmonized and get into vitality and health through peaceful mind, through harmony, and through meditation.
So another way that I've been explaining it to my clients is that imagine that we are a computer unit, and then we have this broadcasting or the internet connection with the universe. And once we are able to just stay with the programs that are inside of us, aware of the outside world, connected, but still running what we have inside and allowing the information that does not need to be present, just be stopped, and just the information that needs to be running, be run. I think we get a lot more output out of this system. And I think most of the time we're so busy with getting so many information and so much interruption in our mind, in our mental abilities, that we really forget the self. We're not in touch with ourselves. So that quiet time, that downtime, is a necessity for allowing ourselves to reset and be able to go back to the human being that you were talking about and just perform our human duties.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's very important for the listeners to know that you really don't need too much time for meditation. Meditation
right.
is a practice. Like anything else, as you started with more and more practice, you become more efficient and proficient at it. And the more you do it, the more you realize, wow, there's so much space, so much unknown territory that you can tap into and actually get that energy from and apply it to your life.
That's right, that's right. So now, in the long run, how does meditation affect us? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I can elaborate on that. I come from a medical background, so I've studied a lot of physiology, a lot of anatomy, pharmacology. I know a bit about the human body and how, on its physical level, it operates. You know, you have the heart beating so many times a minute, and then you have all the cells replicating at the same time. Your breathing is all automatic. You have this autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So the body is an organ system that's working together in a very synchronized way. It's a very efficient system. And when we have a disease, if there's something wrong with one part of this organ system, one part of this machine that's working on its own. So what meditation really does at a body level, you can deliberately focus on any part of your organ system and start giving it energy through meditation. You can slow down your heart rate. You can bring down your blood pressure. You can heal your body through it. There's so many things at physical level that can happen with meditation and slowing down your mind and visualizing what you actually want to happen. at the mind level, I said this is the physical math, in the physical way. At the mind level, it really gives your brain rest. You know, if you truly fall into the gap, into the space between your thoughts for 5 minutes a day, it's equivalent of sleeping between 5 to 6 hours of sleep. It gives you that much energy. It gives you that much vitality. It gives you that much rejuvenation and strength for you in order to do your daily task. And it makes you, as you were saying in your introduction, it would really, really, really anchor you in the present moment. It will really put you in awareness where you are not judging your experiences. You are one step behind an experience that is happening in front of you. So instead of falling prey to the outside circumstances, you have this gap of reactionary time before you get into reaction. There is that millisecond of gap where you have dominion and you have power before falling to that circumstance. And you can directly and you can deliberately choose to change the circumstance in front of you. That's what the effect of meditation on the mind.
That part of it is the connection of the limbic system to the cortex, and all the information that we have already accumulated in our brain comes handy to us in that split second that you were explaining. So we have resources to deal with that situation rather than, as you mentioned, falling prey to the situation and not be a victim rather than a master and conductor of the situation.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it is in that state that then we are achieving so many different things. First, we are experiencing inner peace because we're not in conflict any longer. We can be more successful. We can have improved relationships. We can have better health, as you said, by managing our physiological system. And happiness is something everybody is looking for. So that's the present. It's the present that we get is happiness and satisfaction, fulfillment. It's really a magical thing once you are able to that short little time of resetting yourself through what we call meditation. And that's why you and I so much believe in this, and we use it in our practices with all of our clients.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the most vital practice for method for my practice. Definitely, I teach every client. What I practice is a japa meditation, and it's basically, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but you are repeating the mantra, the sound that is in the name of God, and there's a technique where you slow down your mind, you introduce individual thoughts, and rather than having these random thoughts that are coming at you at every direction, you introduce your own thoughts and you slow them down. Once you find the gap between these thoughts that you're introducing, you just take a deep breath and you exhale with the sound of awe. And why is awe the sound of God? Because if you notice, in every culture, the way they've described this universal source energy, as we call God, has this sound in it. In my language, Farsi, it's called Khoda. So there's the awe. In English, it's God. Then there is Ra, God of the Egyptians. There is Tao. Then there is Krishna. So there is numerous cultures.
Allah,
exactly. Right. So why is this sound, why do we repeat this sound? It's because if you notice when you exhale the sound of awe, this is an absolute infinite sound. There is no movement of your facial muscle. There is no movement of your diaphragmatic muscle. So as you inhale and exhale, this one unique infinite sound is coming through your being and is going out to the universe. And this is what I teach. This is what I practice. Besides other silent meditation, but I promote japa.
It is very interesting. It's very similar in other ways in my practice of meditation, which is based upon breathing. And it's interesting that the sound of ow in breathing is also is the exhale, is normal exhale that comes from a deeper state of under your diaphragm that has the same sound. So at essence, I think breathing is kind of a heavenly and godly gift that we have and really sets all kinds of meditative processes. By understanding the proper breathing, unfortunately, most of us have been influenced by the early traumatic or hard experiences of life, and our breathing has changed. Instead of having a normal belly breathing, which children have, we grow to have more of a chest breathing, which is more anxiety-driven, it's more freeze state-driven or fight-or-flight-driven. So that state of breathing that's stuck in us needs some change, and I think through the breathing, that allows us to let go of that position, the fixation that I was talking about, and open up our system to be reset. And as you continue to be in a meditative state or a moment of awe, a moment that we are not holding our breath. So it's. I think at core, most of the techniques come from some sort of a energetic flow from our breathing.
Exactly. And again, you know, the breath is what connects us to life. That's our
right.
connection to life, to the universe, to the world, you know, and that's how we connect and that's how we receive. When you
that's
ask,
right.
you receive. Yeah.
That's right. And what's interesting is that once you are in that state of awe, in that state of meditative feeling, your connection with others becomes a lot better. So you see that becomes contagious. You attract like people, you know, you attract people
Absolutely.
Who have that positive energy and makes a community a better community. You notice that wherever that you have people who are practicing certain kind of meditation or holistic way of exercising their breathing, you see that there's so many people gather around them with unique, similar energy, and they become very powerful together.
Absolutely. It makes you a more compassionate person. And in this day and age, what we really need to tap into is compassion. Having compassion for ourselves first, because I believe when you're in tune with yourself, that's when you can help others, that's when you can serve others, that's when you can be of a beneficial presence on this planet. So really, when you go within and you go within yourself through meditation, you open your heart to compassion and to peace and to gratitude. These three soulful qualities are what is necessary in order for our race, the human species, to take the next leap into human evolution. And that's where we are right now. That's what the new age, the new thought, ageless wisdom teaches these soulful qualities, and it really taps into meditation as a way to get these qualities out in the world and to have everybody participating in it.
Definitely. What do you think if we play a short music and we allow our listeners to start some sort of a breathing with us, a deep breathing that will allow their stomach, as I was explaining, to expand with the flow of the air into the lungs, allowing the diaphragm to open up, and then by extracting, exhaling, pushing the belly in, allowing the diaphragm to go up and push the air out. Make the sound of awe. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great idea, and I'm going to add one more thing. As you're doing the conscious breathing, I want you to inhale gratitude through your nose, and when you're exhaling through your belly and out of your mouth, imagine the word forgiveness coming out. So you inhale
Beautiful.
Gratitude and exhale forgiveness.
Beautiful. Inhale gratitude and exhale
forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Exhale. Uh-huh.
So let's do that.
Let's do it.
our listeners were able to experience a little bit of that breathing and meditative state, and as you suggested, have more gratitude and allow some forgiveness in their lives.
Absolutely.
Rod, I want to ask you about affirmations. What are affirmations and why should we be using them?
Well, affirmations are statements of truth. It's statements of what is real, what is true for you at that moment. It's taking basically an information, a belief or something that resonates well with you and putting it into motion as an intention, as a word of creation, and in essence turning it into affirmation. Or you can also say it's a conviction of something that is true for you. So why do I use, in a lot of my writings, I meditate and I come up with certain positive writing, something that connects the audience to their inner being. And at the end, I really just summarize the gist, the essence, the juice of what I just wrote, and I turn it into a simple affirmation. So the reader, when he reads the affirmation, that thought remains with them for the rest of the day or for whenever they want to go back to it. They don't need to read a whole bunch of stuff. They just have that affirmation, and they can focus on it. What the affirmation does is it replaces all negative, useless thoughts that are not really helpful to you. So you can always reprogram your mind by introducing positive thoughts and affirmations. And rather than falling prey to the negative thoughts, because the negativity is always constant. It's like gravity. As you walk out, as you turn on your TV, as you see even friends, family members, then somebody can come up to you and say something negative. And if you allow yourself to fall into that energy field, it will suck you down like gravity. So in order for you to optimize your level of existence and your level of communication, your participation in life, you can use the power of affirmations in order to change and to really program your mind into the positivity. That's what I use the affirmations. And the way I teach it to my clients is through having them tape record the affirmations that I give them and have them listen to them, because part of their auditory system is picking this up into their long-term memory. And also by looking at them and repeating them out loud, they're using three sensory perceptions to really tattoo these affirmations in their mind as I tell them. And it works. It really works. It has changed my life.
It's an imprint of the statement that you're generating by repeated through different repetition through different senses. So the hearing,
yes,
the language, and all of these senses are affected,
yes,
by the information that we're receiving. Now, what would be the difference between affirmation and denial? You know, that's a question I've always had. So, some people, I've noticed that they may be using affirmation not to accepting the reality or the situation. How do you differentiate?
Denial is when you don't want to take responsibility for what is happening. And responsibility is really an ability to respond to the current situation. So when you're open and you see your life circumstances, your situation, whatever is happening, when you take responsibility, you have the power to change the circumstance. You have the ability to respond to your situation. Denial is pushing this choice away, is basically running away from the responsibilities and the situations of life that you're dealt with. And basically, denial is one of the defense mechanisms in psychology. It's
correct.
When, a lot of people go into denial in order to save themselves from completely breaking down. So affirmation is not denial. Affirmation is trying to bring forth what is true and trying to set your intention in order to get to your goal. I'm going to run down through several affirmations that I have in my book. And these are the things that I came up through meditation, and they're really powerful. I'm going to go through them really fast so the listeners get the gist of how the affirmation is formulated. It usually starts with I am, because I am, you're declaring that you are these things you're saying. So I am committed to myself, to my health, and to my growth. I am responsible for everything that I do, say, and think. I am confident by making decisions and taking the necessary actions. I am peaceful and serene. I allow myself to just be. I am powerful beyond measures. I am open to new discoveries. I am compassionate and caring towards myself and others. I am courageous and resourceful in every stage of my life. I am persistent and have the desire to accomplish my goals. I am strong. My strength comes from my wisdom and knowledge. I am faithful. My faith comes from my connection to the universal life source energy. I am loving. I give and receive love unconditionally. I am grateful for everything that I have and everything that I am. This is how you say affirmation. You believe and you feel. The key point is the feeling. You feel every adjective. Everything is coming from your inner sense of being, and you project it out to the world, and you open yourself up to allow that abundance, that success, that happiness, that prosperity, that love, that courage to come back to you.
So how often one person uses these kind of affirmations? Is it once a day? Is it more? Or is it according to the need of the person?
According to the need of person, the more you practice it, the more you see the benefit of them. I really encourage my clients to use them first thing earliest in the morning when they wake up. They sit by the edge of their bed. I tell them to go into, I am grateful, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, to bring the energy of gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness in their life before they even start the day. Then I tell them, you know, to ask themselves 5 positive questions to get their day going, like what is great in my life, what am I happy about in my life, what am I grateful for in my life, who do I love, who loves me, things of that nature. And also I really encourage them to say these affirmations right before they go to sleep, right in that unconscious, subconscious level where before you're dosing off, instead of watching the evening news, please do not do this, because your mind is drafting all the garbage in the news and it's actually making it happen in your life. So do not watch the evening news before you fall asleep. Instead, pick up something positive, say your affirmations, say your prayers, go within, do a little bit of meditation, and then go into sleep with the knowing and faith that everything is going to turn out okay in your life.
Beautiful. As I'm hearing you, it sounded like a lot of holy books or scriptures that, you know, in different religions, people read in the morning and then they read in the evening. Have you noticed that similarity between affirmations and prayers?
I've seen that, yes, because, it, you know, everything has a inward and outward cycle. Our life is inward and outward. We are born and then we die. Really, we are not dying. We're just transforming and going into another dimension and energy. Our breath is inward and outward. You take a deep breath, you take a deep breath out. Pregnancy, inward and outward. You know, the birth of human beings. And basically like the waves of the ocean. Everything has this flow of yin-yang, the masculine and the feminine energy that flows. So our waking cycle and the sleeping cycle is on the same level. So as you invite the positive energy affirmation right when you wake up, it will carry you through the whole day into that space, into that field of energy. And then as you get depleted and you go out in the world and you see, you know, everything that comes at you and you kind of maneuver yourself through it, you pick up other people's negative energy no matter what you try to do. So before you go to bed, what you want to do is kind of like shake yourself off those energies and invite that same quality positive energy that you started with in the morning, and you go into another dimension of life, which is your sleep cycle. That's why I say it. That's why a lot of prayers happen at this level, and a lot of cultures practice meditation, affirmations, whatever they do, in the morning and at night, and this is what I believe the reason is for.
That makes a lot of sense. Would you like to give a few affirmations to our listeners, and then I will play another short about a minute and a half piece of music, and our listeners can use that affirmation?
Sure. I made
go
this
ahead
affirmation.
And, three yeah. to five affirmations and allow them to have that, to write it down, and then I will go to the music.
Okay. I believe in myself. I'm healthy.
I believe
in
myself.
Uh-huh. I'm healthy.
I'm healthy.
I am healed. I am worthy. Mm-hmm.
I am
healed.
Worthy.
I am loved.
I am loved.
And I am grateful.
I am grateful. That last one is amazing. That does wonders.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's go to the music and let's invite our listeners to practice affirmation.
Sure.
Affirmations, but I think even a little bit of exercise is helpful and gives to those who are not using affirmation a chance to get familiar with it and start experiencing it. Rod, what is the difference between positive thinking and affirmation?
Between what?
The power of positive thinking and affirmations.
Well, actually, the power of positive thinking and affirmations are one and the same. Because when you're saying all these affirmations, you're using and utilizing the power of positive thinking. The positive thinking is a choice, and it's the use of higher vibration of words and qualities to describe your life experience. That's what positive thinking is.
Well,
and, you know, yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, finish.
Go ahead, ask me the question.
Yeah, I was thinking that in psychological language, positive thinking is a little bit different. It is the willingness to make changes from that state of confusion or anxiety or frustration to a state of inner peace, in a state of more tranquility and allowing things to be. Rather than being judgmental and rather than, worrying about the future of how the events are going to work out. So in positive thinking, we're focusing more on what it is right now and the reality of what exists and how we can deal with it rather than the other ways of thinking that is always calculating based upon the problems, not the solutions.
Right.
So how does that work in with affirmation?
With affirmations and positive thinking, as I said, the way I see it, the way I've been utilizing it is that with power, you know, the positive thinking, you are focusing on the solution, on not being judgmental and just becoming a perceiver, and you're really directing your attention to something, up to a positive thing. And, you know, it's like, this is the way it works. You know, when you have, you don't have a car and you're interested in purchasing a new car, and all of a sudden you go and you see this car, you like it. When you go out, you see the same car everywhere. So that's part of your brain, the reticular activating system, being activated to a new quality of something outside, and you start noticing things, and it starts giving you that pulling power to what you're noticing. So, you know, positive thing is the same way. When you use that decision, that focus, and you focus on what is positive, you tend to start noticing positive things in your life. And by noticing them, you tend to reach your goals faster. You tend to have your health, and you tend to have your vitality. As far as affirmation on positive thinking, I don't quite know the difference, but I know that by using affirmations, you are really giving fuel for positive thinking.
I guess what I realize they have in common is a certain mm-hmm. attitude. I think the attitude that we have in dealing with any situation makes a huge difference. And I believe that positive affirmations and positive thinking, they both result in having an attitude of acceptance, attitude of encouragement, attitude of ability, attitude of going forward. So a lot of positivity in our attitudes are generated from both of them. I think that's what you were referring to as the results, correct?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And one of the attitudes you missed out is the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
That is that the gratitude is the mother of all attitudes. When you're
I
grateful,
definitely agree.
And you're open to what you already have rather than focusing on what you don't have, when you focus on what you have, that's positive thinking. And when you're appreciative and you're in a gratitude state of consciousness, then more of what you have comes in your experience. And you're not focusing on the lack, worries, limitations, and things of that nature. You see all the qualities and all the blessings in your life. And that's really the pathway for inner peace, the pathway for living in harmony. And it's really the gate. This is the doorway or the pathway for living a high quality and a purposeful life. And that's one of the things I'm really big on when I speak to my clients, is trying to connect them to their true purpose in life, to what their passion is in life, and how to bring out that passion and purpose and live it daily. For instance, my purpose and my intention in life is to love, to heal, and to inspire myself first, and then others, in order to raise the collective cosmic consciousness. That's my purpose in life. When I'm out giving a lecture, when I'm out speaking to you, Dr. Sadi, when I'm out with a client, when I'm with my parents, with family, friends, I'm either in the mode of love, or in the mode of healing, or in the mode of inspiration. And the first thing that I do is to do these three things for myself. Because as I said, and I'm going to reiterate again, if you cannot give to yourself, you cannot expect giving to others.
Definitely.
If you don't have it inside you, then you can't give to others, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
And that's what I really promote, is first to get yourself, get your inner being strengthened up, you know, go through the practices. Listen, practice always trumps belief system. Practice is a doorway for freedom. Practice, if you're, you know, the Olympians that you see them right now, they're going through severe, you know, a lot of exercise, a lot of fatigue. What keeps them in shape and what keeps them going in order to achieve their goal and in order to be at the optimum level is all the practices that they've done throughout their life. And now they can rely on their practice at even unconscious level. So meditation practice, affirmation practice, giving and sharing, these are all practices that you cannot say, I'm a great swimmer, I can swim, when you've never felt water on yourself, you know? You can philosophize about these things. I can go on and, talk about meditation and affirmations all day long, but if you don't sit down and give that quality of time, that generosity to yourself, to your soul, to your mind, to your body, then you'll never get the benefit from it. There is a thing here, a quote from Jim Rohn, one of the famous authors that I really like. It's really good. I'm going to give that to the listeners. It's beautiful. It says, discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Affirmation without discipline is the beginning of delusion. So if you don't have discipline for the practice of these things we're talking about, and you just say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and it's just talk and talk and talk, there's no real walk in it, then you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're not getting what you want to get out of life.
Well, because without that discipline and practice, there is no regulation and there is no order. So in order
Absolutely.
To succeed, we need to have certain order, certain procedures, certain regulation, as life is based upon certain, as you referred earlier, certain frequencies, certain rhythm, certain yin and yang, up and down.
Exactly.
So to keep that rhythm, to keep that regulation, we need to practice keeping that regulation, which is creating balance in our lives, brings a state of positiveness and health and happiness, and at the end result, joy. Joy is the
Exactly.
product of being in balance, being in harmony. Without being in balance and harmony, there is no way that we can feel joy and happiness.
Exactly.
Well, in order to bring all of them together now with meditation, positive thinking, and affirmation, I guess we can look at the breathing one more time, because I believe in that moment of just taking a breath in and out, there is that gratitude that you were talking about. There is that positive thinking. There is that meditative state. So if we focus on just a very simple act of breathing and have gratitude for the breath that we are taking in, I think that we can achieve so much, such an internal joy with every breath if we are conscious of that. And that's what I have noticed on and on. My clients who start paying attention to their breathing, all of a sudden you can see that 40, 50% of their anxieties and worries are going down, and they're able to regulate, have that order and practice in a different way. And I believe you have the same experience with your clients.
Same exact experience, because they are being anchored in the present moment through the breath consciousness, and the mind is not going through past experiences which causes depression, or getting into something that is not real, we call it future, that causes anxiety. So when you're in the present moment, there's no room for depression or anxiety, and that's what the present moment awareness and conscious breathing does for you.
Yeah, being in present really is the healer of all pains, because as soon as we move back in time and we look at the regrets and losses and what's gone, we are sinking. We are going to that depressive mode. And as soon as we start panicking about what's going to happen and how am I going to survive this situation,
mm-hmm.
we are in that anxiety mode and we are stressing and we are ruining our future and our being. So being present is the biggest gift that one can give to themselves. Meditation, affirmation, positive thinking, what we discussed tonight, I guess all of them are bringing us to a present moment and the joy that we can have of being alive, being the human beings that we are, powerful, healthy, and full of joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, and please tell us a little bit about your books and your website and your webpage, and hopefully we can have more talks in the future together and bring more awareness about breath, about meditation, about healing in general in ways that are not necessarily just medication or, control issues. We just want to be more of have more of a freedom of our own to choose our practices and get that regulation.
Absolutely. Well, I run a blog on Facebook under Rod Tedeschi. Everybody can connect with me. And also I have a group called Live a Purposeful Life with Passion on Facebook, which you can join. My first book, which came out last year, is called Live a Purposeful Life with Passion. It's a collection of my quotes and affirmations. And my new release, which was about 2 weeks ago, is called The Loving Light Within, where I speak about ego, I speak about forgiveness, unconditional love, inspiration, healing energy, happiness, purpose, gratitude, and peace. This book is amazing because it came from everything that's in there. It came from daily meditation. There's a lot of affirmations in there. There's a lot of short meditation, guided meditations, where you can sit down and you can read through it and you can practice it in various formats. I have them in my new book, which is called The Loving Light Within. My personal website is called www.livewithpassion.me. And I'm going to include this year, I have a special client that I've done. We've done great fundraising for him because he went through a traumatic brain injury. On my website, I have a site for fundraising, and his website is called www.arielkosheri2012.com. You can visit that website and see our work, what we've been doing for Ariel.
I encourage all of our listeners to help this fund. This is a young man who suffered a severe car accident, and his medical bills are so extremely high that any kind of support would be welcome. And please go to the website that
arielkosheri2012.com.
Ariel Kosheri, KASHERI2012.com.
2012.com. And it's also on my site, livewithpassion.me. There's a link there, and there's a link for my both of my books over there. If anyone's interested, it will definitely serve you, and it will raise your consciousness, guaranteed.
Beautiful. This was a great talk. I'm glad that we had this conversation, and I hope that our listeners have enjoyed and benefited from this. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Any last words?
Just live with passion, live with joy, live with love. Be yourself, practice, and please do not take yourself too seriously.
Very good. Take care of yourself and have a wonderful
evening. You too. Good night.